All right, here we go. Another guest on Fold Pockets podcast. All right, today my guest is Pugs Adams. Peace, brother. How you doing?
Good, man. How you feeling today?
Man, life is good, man. It's a beautiful day. Got a lot of stuff done. And this is the better part of my day, getting to talk to awesome guests from around the city and around the world. So tell me where you're from.
I'm from Pittsburgh, but I lived in Chicago the majority of my life. In the Inglewood neighborhood here.
Okay. And at what point did you get to the Inglewood neighborhood?
I got to Inglewood like early 80s.
Early 80s. Okay. Oh,
Yeah.
so you guys have settled here for a while then.
Yeah. I mean, I only say it just because, when you Google someone,
Yeah, it'll pop up and you see, oh,
it'll go
he
by
not
the,
really, he not really from there.
yeah. So I always put it out there. Yeah. But now my dad was a radio DJ, so we came here so he could do WVON, do a show on there.
That was Pop Start.
Well, no, that wasn't a start,
Well, I'm
but
just saying, like coming to Chicago.
Yeah, that's the reason we came to Chicago.
Damn.
Yeah,
So
because
he
he was doing
started at
radio in
WVON?
Pittsburgh. Well, no, I mean, he had managed stations. He had hosted a bunch of different radio stations in Boston and Pittsburgh and Mississippi, et cetera.
Okay, so Pops was a DJ, full blown.
Yeah, he was a radio DJ. Yeah,
Radio
so
DJ. Okay.
announcer, manager, the
Okay.
station, all that kind of stuff,
So
all
he
the phone
wasn't like
lines.
the 1-2 cutting and everything like that.
No, he was just a selector. So, I mean, he had like a stupid record collection, just all genres. Yeah. That's why my music's so eclectic.
I was just about to say, because so that bleeds into how you got to your style then, right?
Yeah. Because, I mean, any given Sunday, he's playing anything from Beethoven to Parliament. To Muddy Waters, to new Cyndi Lauper, just whatever, he was vibing to or felt was worth me to
Was this
listen to.
a mostly musical household for you guys?
Yeah, I mean, we had the family house, where everybody comes for Christmas, Thanksgiving, so we entertained a lot. So yeah, we definitely had the music going.
Okay. So Pops is working, doing the radio and everything like that. You got the music coming in and everything. What were some of the cooler things that you heard him play? Was it Mozart? Was it the Cyndi Laupers, or was it something totally different that got your attention towards music?
I would probably say the rock and roll stuff and the funkadelic stuff would probably be the things that really got me, just because I really was into the album covers.
Okay, those are some
Parliament,
dope album
crazy
covers
album
too.
covers. Yeah. That was definitely the push.
Yeah, seeing the Funkadelics. The Gap Band had some dope album covers. So did Earth, Wind and Fire. There was some really sick graphics on those other album covers. When I go back and look at them, like, yo, they knew something back then that we're now still following and catching up on now, man. So
But I mean, they were competing for the space, It's like if you're going to be sitting on the shelf, what's going to make this the one you pick? Because I mean,
that's true.
imagine trying to go listen to albums, vinyl albums at a record store.
Right.
I'm sure it had to get to the point where they're like, no, you can't test the records anymore. You just got to
Facts.
buy. You
Facts.
know what I mean? Yeah.
Facts. So when do you go out and start picking your own records out? Your own
I think
vinyl?
I bought my first record maybe 84,
Really?
83, 84, something like that. It was whenever the Jets came out,
Oh, shoot.
the singer group. Yeah, that was like my first 45.
And you're good. Okay, so you remember it. You remember it. You remember it.
Mean, that
All
was
right.
big to have, a record you picked.
Yeah, hell yeah, man. Listen, hey, my first thing was a tape, right? The first thing I bought was a tape, and it was Sir Mix-a-Lot, because I just heard him on the radio, and it was I Like Big Butts, but the first song I heard was Self Destruction. You know what I mean? So, yeah.
Yeah, and it's just a rap tape. So, I mean, the first rap tape I got, Houdini Sesame. Yeah, that was like my first rap tape back when they used to do the 99 cent. You get 10 tapes,
Okay.
sign up for the monthly plan type thing.
Hey, people used to really use those and get over on that stuff, man.
Well, I mean, you got over kind of, but they got over on you. Because, I
Yeah,
mean,
they do.
really, I think it was just the labels trying to unload what's not moving, with what's moving.
I hear
Because, I
you.
mean,
I
nobody
hear
wants
you.
to hold a bunch of tapes.
True.
And, I mean, even thinking about I only got Houdini because that was like the only rap in the list. I think it was like that New Edition, and then the rest was just kind of like more pop or more abstract kind of pop stuff.
Okay, so in your household, was anybody a musician?
No, not the only musician I knew early was my cousin Mookie. That was about it. And he was a jazz, but not really jazz, but he played the horn. Yeah, he was a
Okay.
horn player.
Okay. So you grabbing the vinyls, you coming back to the crib, you got your own selection of music. What sparks your interest in starting to do music on your own? Did it take a while to get to that point?
Yeah, I mean, I didn't really start making any demos until maybe that was like the Christmas break of eighth grade. That's probably when I first started to really try to record. Like when I was younger, we would all rap and break dance, but I didn't really take it serious. You know, my cousin Seagram, he was really in it in that sense of it, like really taking it serious. He could beatbox and rap at the same time. So crazy. I'd be like, how?
Okay.
Teach me. Yeah. But yeah, around eighth grade, that's when I started to make demos and started to realize how hard it was. Because I had like a keyboard and some hit sticks, and it was terrible, terrible
Was
drums.
four track around at that time, or was that pre?
I mean, I'm sure it was around, but I mean, I had no idea of that yet.
Okay.
You know, all I knew was like you get a keyboard and you try to use the drums on it, and then you could record between two tape decks. That's all I knew.
Yeah, I remember
I
that,
didn't.
but by the time I got to it, it was four track and six track, and that was an issue on
Man.
its own because there was only so much that you could do on that at the same time, unless you got
Wow.
guys in there to you choose one track to use all the vocals, and everybody was standing in line to do that, and
Yeah.
try to work out different ways of making stuff happen.
Yeah, nah, we made it happen, you know, with the two track, with the four track, with the digital, with the
Yeah.
MIDI, all the different variations of it. But I
Oh
mean,
man,
that's
when you
not
love
till
it,
like
you gonna figure it
95.
out.
Yeah, but that's not till like 95. Because
Okay.
I mean, the first four track I got to play with was at college. But then this guy, Kenny Keys, his father was like one of my mentors. He was a painter, Willie Carter. But Kenny could really play the keys. I mean, he was playing for like Aretha Franklin early. I mean, he
Okay.
was like that talented, but he liked to make beats. So his
Wait,
crib was
at
like,
what age was he playing for Aretha?
I mean, he was probably 17.
Wow.
You know what I'm saying? Like he was like a virtuoso. I mean, he's still ridiculous. I mean, he
That's
produced for a
crazy,
lot of
man.
different people, but he had the four track, and I mean, he could make beats on the spot. So it was just, you know, for young kids, that was the way to go, because your attention span's only so long, and
Yeah,
trying to
I'd be trying
figure out
so
how to
hard to be
dance.
around a guy like that. Yo, show me everything that you know, man, because and blend my own style with that, because that's so dope to be able to be around someone like that. Who has a knack for it and a natural gift to that, man. That's so
Yeah.
dope to be around someone like that. But playing for Aretha at 17, that's crazy.
Yeah. No, I mean, I was always friends with a lot of producers. That's always been a through line. Because I
Okay.
made beats, usually rock with me.
So in between you doing the music, where was the art? Was the art at the
I always
forefront?
did art. I did art from the beginning. My mom was a painter. So, I mean,
So
I think
mom's
the
is a
first,
painter.
yeah, so the first thing I won was probably first grade, and the first, like, outside of school type thing I won was fourth grade. But it was just always something I did just because she did it, you know.
Okay.
And then from there, just, you know, I would take some classes, you know, on the weekends around seventh, eighth grade. And then like high school, I didn't take any art classes actually
Wait,
in
you
high
didn't
school
none in
until
high
senior
school?
year. But I mean, I was already doing it. You see what I'm saying? It wasn't like a necessity.
Okay.
So I didn't take art to my senior year. I took AP art because the lady looked at my stuff and was like, oh, yeah, come on. And it was like, I just needed the credits to graduate because you're supposed to have like your art credit, your music credit. But I was more trying to be a architect, a
Gotcha.
craftsman. That's what I wanted to do.
Also, you did like the computer-aided drafting and everything like that.
Yeah, I made it up to CAD and then they cut that out in school.
They cut it out.
Yeah, they took that out. They took that and woodshop out. Yeah.
Computer-aided drafting is one of those things, man. That's the start of a career, right? I would think.
Now it is, but at that point, you know, in all the different high schools, those rooms where that stuff was happening, all got shut down because they were like woodshop rooms that also had that in it.
That's crazy. That's crazy. Something that's kind of important, they will remove because they had it at my school. I went to the V,
Oh,
so
okay. Yeah.
in the
No,
era,
but I mean, all the guys that were doing auto body, you know, all of that.
all that they
Those
had,
were
all that,
the
man.
key ones. Yeah, beauticians. I remember all the girls,
Everything,
you know, had
everything was there.
beautician license, you
Yeah,
know,
man.
from
Everything was there.
yeah, senior
Cosmetology,
year. Yeah.
nursing, accounting, tailoring, auto body, auto mech, art, radio. They had everything in there in that school, man. Now they probably got like five majors total over there.
Yeah, a lot of schools are supposed to bring back art now just because I guess the time limit is up for them now to think of what's important
Are you
besides
aware of
STEM.
what caused them to remove so many vocations out of these schools?
Not 100%, but I mean, I assume they were trying to think what was more important.
Hmm.
The finances, because you know, it's like the budget of this is how much we had to spend, what things can we live without? You know, and I mean, going to speak at a lot of the elementary schools, they have this story of like, man, we got 2 more years before we can have art again. Because they had to wait out because they had picked just doing all STEM.
It kind of sucks though, because you're depriving these kids of a situation where they can learn art, where they can draw, or any of these other vocations and skills that they could learn and be good at. And it's just not there. It just
Yeah.
sucks.
No, I mean, you need just many different options to figure out what you're good at and
Absolutely.
what you don't want to do, you know? Because, I mean, even with all the stuff I do, I enjoy it, but it's a lot of people that's like, oh, I want to do it. But then they realize the work of it and they're like, oh, no, I don't want you know? But having a chance to experiment is priceless.
Yeah, work. I mean, work comes with it. It's with everything. Like you yourself know that you don't have to work for anything.
Yeah, but. You know, some people like mindless work. Some people prefer just going to a job where they don't have to care about it. They just go to work and leave, you know.
Gotcha.
Other people want jobs as part of their life. Other people want jobs where they can keep moving up. You know what I mean? It's what kind of person you are, you know.
Gotcha. 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 So you're moving. You're maneuvering. You're doing the art. But your main focus was what through that high school era?
Well, it was drafting to about maybe junior year. And then at junior year, I really started to be like, I think this hip hop stuff, I think this is what I want to do. But it was just figuring out how to make it work, you know, and building a crew. I started my big crew, Acrobats, about 1993.
Okay.
And it was, you know, starting to figure out like, how can we do a show? How can we throw a party? How can we rent a venue? How can I find a studio? You know, all those things.
Around that, what was it? You said 95?
93 started the
93.
crew. 95 is when it started to take off.
Okay. All right.
That's when it started to be like, ah, we need to buy stickers. Ah, okay. We need to have IDs and
Stickers.
t-shirts and, you know, we need to make a compilation, you know, like all those things. Make a music video, you know.
Okay.
Started to get real.
Okay. What studios were around in Chicago at the time that you were going to?
Around that time, we were going all the way to a little bit west of Sauk Village to this place called Fast Track. So this is like 222nd Street, way out there. But Twister and this guy, Thigamajiggy, they both recorded there. So we were like, ah, well, they know rap, you know? And then the guys we knew from Sauk Village, who were like producers, rappers, they went there as well. So it was like, okay, bet. You know, this is the jump off. So I would go there. And then outside of there, I would go. I think I went to Gramophone Studios once. And then I would go to like the Mo Man's crib because they had like some recording equipment in the basement. But then they recorded way out in Skokie. There was like nothing really in the city at that point.
Yeah, because
And
that's what I was wondering. I
then.
was like, man, because you're from that fresher era. So like, what was going on around that time?
Yeah. And then, you know, about that 96, that's when I started to record with Kenny
Man,
at his crib, you
so
know. And then it was like, you know, one of my other friends, Marco, he was younger than me, a year younger than me, but his dad was a musician. So he had set him up with like a four track, then he bought him the MIDI four track. But it's like, you know, we're still figuring it out. You're not
right.
like proficient yet. Yeah.
So everything was in the burbs at that point.
Well, everything wasn't in the burbs, but that's who we knew.
Oh,
Because
okay.
it was studios in the city, but if you don't know
Right.
those people,
Okay.
like how,
Right.
there was no internet to,
To
the
Google
most
it
you could
and find
do.
out who was around. Like we was that was the era of the yellow pages, and you wasn't about to sit around that big
Well,
ancient.
also too, you got to think about like a lot of the studios like that were downtown or like in the West Loop. I mean, they're probably charging way more because they're doing
Absolutely.
like Oprah. You know what I mean? They're
Yeah.
doing bigger clients. So it's like we didn't have that kind of bread. So it's
Right.
really the word of mouth of, oh, this place is $20 an hour, or
Right.
they'll hook it up, if you pay a little bit.
Right.
But I mean, we would do like 2 hour sessions and do two songs, write the song there, make the beat there, and get in, get out.
Okay.
And then
Okay.
slowly everybody started to get their own equipment at the crib. And then it was just all about people's basements making the music there.
And how many people were in the in that group at the point, at that point?
In 96, I mean, you're talking like getting upwards of 100 kids. Then about that 97, you're talking like 200 kids.
Wow.
Then 98 is just a lot of people.
Okay.
Because it
Were
was like whole crews that were part of my crew.
you able to get any good tips or pointers from anybody that was older, like Twister, or whatever? Was everybody on a kind of like on the same level playing field?
No, I mean, at this point, Twister's already, he's starting to get signed, and Common is starting to get signed. They are kind of starting their real careers. But the people I was more with was like, my cousin Seagram, this guy Securo. They had a group. Sometimes they would have me pretend to be the manager so they could sneak me in to the club so I could see it,
Gotcha,
and
gotcha.
experience it. And then Sha-Rock Nation, I was a member of that as well. So they actually do the Hip Hop Heritage Museum in Bronzeville. So
Oh, okay.
Artistic and Fear from that crew, they both really, showed a lot of love and, gave me an idea of what it is to have a crew and how to run it in that. So I took that and, ran with it.
What was the first beat you sold? Do you remember?
I never sold beats, man. Like my beats, I rapped on or, gave
Okay.
it to a friend. But I mean, all my friends, yeah, they do that all day.
Okay.
But I
Just
mean, my
asking.
push, no. My push was different. Like, I mean, I would sell raps, that kind of thing. Or,
Really, you would sell the raps?
yeah, as I got more into it,
Okay.
people asked you to write for them and that kind of thing. And then, do commercials and jingles, voiceovers, and all that kind of stuff. Done a lot of that.
I have a question. As you're progressing and you're getting better and you're starting to make moves, are you aware of a guy named Prosper?
He's my Prosper Jones.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was in my crew.
Yeah, I thought, okay. I thought so. All right. Was it like the Peanut Gallery or something like that?
Well, no, Peanut Gallery was another crew,
Okay.
but Prosper, I met him first as a graffiti writer. Because he went to, I think he went to CDS, didn't
Yeah.
he? And then, from the graffiti, he started to get more into rapping. And at that point, we were super into rapping, and we were kind of fading out of doing graffiti so tough.
Okay.
The majority of us were graffiti writers first.
Cause I do know he liked to battle as well. Were you big
Well,
into?
no, but that's what our crew was. It was a
Okay.
battle crew.
All
So
right.
we're
All right.
going
That's
block to
I'm
block.
just trying to get all the information. Just trying to get it to make sense to me. Sorry if it's coming out scattered and everything.
No, it's cool because you don't know that story. You would have to like buy the book, and even in the book, it doesn't really mention too much on them. But yeah, I mean, we all grew up together, freestyled together, took the bus together, went to shows together, battled people together, all of that. But I mean, that was how you got your rep. It was really about
That's how you
battle.
got better, man. That's how you cut your teeth. That's how you got your skills and found out where you were and how you need to improve. 'Cause it's tough. It's a tough thing to do, you know?
But I mean, that's what most people knew me for, the freestyle battle.
Word.
Then I would later go on to just host a lot of the battles and then judge a lot of the battles. And then I
Okay,
faded out
so
of that.
tell me where the battles were being held at the time.
I mean, we would battle at Navy Pier. We would battle at the Point in Hyde Park, Promontory Point, because we would go there every Thursday. But The battle can happen anywhere, man. I mean, I'll be on a date and somebody will be like, oh, and the
Oh,
DJ will pull out the mic and you gotta go. You'll be at the movies about to buy the tickets and some older dude comes like,
yo, you
y'all
want a
don't
battle?
know how to rock, all of that. Yeah. So I mean, it was anytime, any place. But again, because there's no internet, it's all based on these stories,
Damn.
people saying what people are doing. So it's like a lot of
Damn.
times you would hear about somebody before you met them. Or, we would have times when people would say they were us to us. They were like, nah.
Like, no, that's not correct. Yo, so it, when it when they faking like that, do you go ahead and just like cut into them, right there on the scene with a
I
battle?
mean, we would let it linger and then everybody would come and, take them out. Yeah. Because I
Gotcha.
mean, we enjoyed it. It was like sport. So it was like, oh, yeah, let's see how far you're going to go with this. I mean, I have songs that kind of detail these type things.
Okay. What's my other question I wanted to ask you about it. The book. Tell me about the book. Plug your book. Talk about the book.
Okay, so I have a few books, but I'm assuming you're talking about the Necrobat book, yeah? Yeah, so this is a kind of how we came together. So everybody kind of gives from their perspective how they met me or how they got the crew and then how it moved on. Like, where did we go? Where did we travel? Where did we tour to? What also was happening in Chicago? It shows like all of our different album releases. It shows all the different music festivals we used to go to. And just really tells you about Chicago hip hop. In the 90s, you get like a bird's eye view of what it was like. They
Plugs,
run
I had some
about to
your
be the
music.
fourth pressing.
Say it again.
It's about to be the fourth pressing of the book. Yeah.
Okay. I had some of your music early on. I was looking for it last weekend. I couldn't find it. It's on tape. I couldn't find it though. It's somewhere in here. I saved my tapes, man, but I don't know
Which
where it
tape was
is.
it?
Huh?
Which tape was it?
It just has your name on it. It's just Pugs Adams, and it's just like a regular tape. Cause I had to dub it off of. I think I did.
Okay. It's a copy. Okay.
I had to copy it off of Prosper. This is a while ago, bro. It's
Oh, so
old.
it's probably early stuff. So it's like 98, 99, probably 99.
99, like 99, 2000.
So
Cause
it's
I kept
probably
a
my
lot of
first
stuff.
album. Yeah.
I kept a lot of stuff from like Mike One, Quasar, and a bunch of other stuff, man.
Yeah. Quasar, he was natural too.
He was in the crew? Okay. Yo, he was a dope spitter too, man.
Yeah, no, he's still nasty. Last time he jumped on the track, it's like one with me, him, add two, this guy West Restless, and then a few people from London. But
Okay.
murder.
Is he still in Chicago or does he stay somewhere
No,
overseas?
he lives somewhere else. He lives somewhere else. He's like in on the West Coast, I believe.
Okay.
And he's
So
usually making songs with this guy Bat Sauce. So if you Google his name, Bat Sauce, that'll take you right to him.
gotcha. Okay. So what keeps you in Chicago? Let me ask you about that. Is
I
it
mean, right
business? Is
now,
it family? What is it?
family, and then like I do a lot of community stuff. So I'm one of the co-founders of the Inglewood Arts Collective. And I mean, throughout my life as an artist, it's always been community based. So I mean, I do a lot of things in Inglewood, a lot of things in Park Manor. Right now, I'm doing a lot of things in Chatham. I just had a large scale sculpture unveiling Saturday that tells the story of Chatham, like all the key people that came from that neighborhood, but with the community's input to create this over the course of 3 years.
Dope. I like that. What got you started in community involvement?
I mean, that's how I grew up.
Okay.
Like my mom, she was artistic director at a art center. And I mean, I would go volunteer, I would go be a docent, I would go teach classes. It was just, I mean, it was just part of being part of the family. You
That's
just in it,
dope, man.
Yeah.
That's dope. I like that, bro. I like that. And the tapestry behind you. Explain that to those who may be listening or who will see the video.
Okay, so this one, yeah.
Can see you just fine.
For jogging past that house where everybody would go get water. So it was like my response to that, but then also it's homage to Bill Walker and all the OG muralists of Chicago, because Chicago really kicked off the muralist movement in a big way with like the Wall of Respect and organizing murals. So I'm also part of the Chicago Public Art Group, which is founded by Bill Walker and a few other artists. So it's like homage to that and to that. Yeah. Most of my stuff is like that, double meanings.
That's dope, man. Like because I keep staring at it. How long does it take you to do that?
The first one probably took like a year. Now, I mean, I've been able to streamline it, figure some things out, get some people on board to help.
Okay. Do they get bigger than that? How big is that one, I should say?
Yeah, well, that one is like 3 feet by 4 feet,
Okay.
but like the traditional, like when I do one of ones in the gallery, those are usually like 5 feet by 7 feet.
I like it, man. That's pretty slick. That's pretty slick right there. So let's get back to the music. Which you're getting through it. You're traveling around. You're going from the suburbs to the city. What was one of the main things that let you know that music was something that you wanted to do? As far as like doing the shows, or was it a certain show that you knew, like, okay, this is it right here. This is it for me.
I wouldn't really say I had somewhat of that moment in that
Okay.
way. It was just more so I told my mom, like, that's what I want to do.
Gotcha.
That was like my number one thing. I was like, I want to rap and then I want to paint. And that's, I'm living that out. I
Gotcha.
wrapped up, got to tour all around the world, live my rap dreams, and now painting,
What was your favorite place to tour?
I would probably say my favorite was probably like Brazil. That was like real magical, just because a lot of the people there just thought I was one of them. So they just came up to me speaking Portuguese, like,
Yeah,
yo.
you look like one of them, motherfucker.
Yeah.
Because I was wondering, like, I want to know what
That
is with
was
you.
really nice, to feel that connectivity and, for them to share what their life was like and, take me around.
Yeah.
And then Russia, that was pretty dope. Like playing,
Russia? Okay.
Like playing Moscow and playing a few other cities there. And it's the people there saying, like, you're the first person from Chicago to rap here. This is like maybe 2010. Yeah, 2010, 2011,
In
2012,
2010, you were still the first
2013.
person?
That was big. That was super big to me. 'Cause then it made me, my perspective changed on like, what is everybody else doing? 'Cause
Yeah,
in
because
your
I'm
mind,
saying,
you think
like, what?
everybody's doing that.
Right, that's what I'm like. How did he become the first?
Yeah, but I mean, the group I was in, we had a group called The Electric with this guy DJ Vadim. He's like a Russian DJ, so that's like our intro into Russia that way.
Gotcha.
And then we had like a British singer, and then we had like a keyboard player from Jamaica. So I mean, we were pretty multicultural, and everybody kind of leaned into that, to get us in many other places. But that, and then I'll probably say when Adidas brought us to China to play a couple shows, that was really dope. We had like billboards, all of that. But the people, like all the shows went crazy.
When you have such a big group like that, is it hard to narrate or orchestrate the guys to get them, the young ladies and men, whoever they may be, to get on songs, or do everyone just split up and do their own thing and come back together as a whole?
Well, with the Nacoraks, this is like separate from Nacoraks.
Okay.
Electric is like after all that I had ended, but now during the Acrobats, it was loose, everything was loose. I didn't really try to stress it in that way. It would just be, I would say, hey, I'm putting together a new compilation, give me a song, or I'll handpick the songs. Like, for instance, like one song was on her first Acrobat album, she had this song called Simply Beautiful, and like we had just went down to Champaign to play a show together. And she gave me like, her tape. And I was just like, oh man, this song is crazy. I need this on the comp. So a lot of times it'd be that kind of stuff of putting these things together
Okay.
of, from different people. And then, as we progressed, like the final Nacrobat album, everything was made on the spot, together and more like more strategic of like, all right, we're gonna get this person to do an interlude. We're gonna get this person, he's gonna do a one verser to try to get everybody in it,
So is it hard to orchestrate that when you're trying to get everybody into it like
Oh
that?
yeah, it could be challenging, but on the other side, I was so determined, you know what I mean? It would just be kind of like, I don't do it, he's probably gonna keep going.
Right. Because at that point, you become like the executive producer and director of a project like that, right?
Yeah, I mean, for all that stuff, I mean, it was my crew. So, I mean, I really took the reins, and usually I was the person that had connected with the engineer or with the producer that had the studio that we're facilitating, mixing it down in. So, yeah, it was just the vision.
If there was an artist you could work with, who would there be? Who would it be? Three artists.
I would probably say Dilla, Madlib, and the third, I don't know, man. I really had to think about the third, man. But it would probably be somebody like outside of my genre.
Okay.
You know, like a you know, Jimi Hendrix, something crazy like that. Or
Yeah,
Ray
it don't matter.
Charles
Dead or
when he
alive. It
first.
don't matter. Dead or alive.
But like Ray Charles when he first started flipping the church songs to secular music, like those kind of vibes.
Okay. All right. So we recently had like the Chicago House Fest here. I was there for that. They were celebrating 40 years of house music in Chicago. Were you able to make it to that, or were you out doing anything else?
I mean, I was there for some of it because I was artist in residence at the Cultural Center where they
Okay.
were having a lot of the stuff. So, I mean, I would pop in to
Okay.
some of the stuff
It
for
was a
it,
good
but
time, man. I really enjoyed myself.
that was dope. The open house, the first night, Thursday, man, people had a blast. And there were
Oh
so
yeah,
many
I
people
didn't.
that
No, I
had
definitely didn't. Yeah.
drove in to Chicago or flew to Chicago just for this. So that was interesting to see.
Okay. Yeah, I think I was there for that Sunday. I was there for that Sunday
Oh,
night.
okay, the Sunday part.
Yeah.
Okay. Right. Yeah,
Yeah.
that was in the park.
Tony Touch was there, DJ Farley. Yeah, that was pretty cool. That was pretty cool to see DJ Farley close it out, man. Just rip it down. I was like, yo, this is wild. I really enjoyed myself. All right, so
But Chicago has so much royalty in house, what I mean? So it's gotta be
dude,
dope, Because I
this
mean,
is
even in high school, I mean, I went to high school with Gantman, but
what?
and
DJ Gantman?
he would just be in the other room while we were trying to make rap beats. He'll be in the hallway making house beats and then come back in like he wasn't making house beats because he was kind of hip hop, he was kind of in between. But
That's
I mean,
crazy.
I had no idea all he was doing, in that world because we weren't house,
Wow.
we were super hip hop. And you know how segregated Chicago is, where it's like if you're this, then you're not that,
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah. They always want to put you into this one fucking box, man. Yeah. That's crazy. See, man, there's so much history in this city, man, that's just not out there, not being told.
Yeah, he produced a record with my producer, Mulatto Patriot, for me. So he housed it up. Even though he was like, oh, I gotta make some hip hop drums. I never get to make hip hop drums. So the first part is him, his hip hop drums. Then it goes into the more juke
Okay, it
type
slides
vibe.
right on into it. Okay.
Because I was like, we gotta have that. I mean, that's the reason I hit you up, bro. Come on.
Gotta represent, man. Represent a little bit for the city. Ain't nothing wrong with that. Ain't nothing wrong with that. So DJ Gantman is off in one room doing house music, then he comes back,
No,
or
he's in the hallway.
the hallway.
And we are in like my friend's apartment. I think it was my friend C now in his apartment because he had equipment. So
Okay.
he's like trying to
Okay.
make a hip hop beat while he's trying to make the house beat outside.
That's crazy.
Because I mean, we all went to the same high school, so you know how that goes.
Yeah.
It's
That's
where
this.
doing it is doing it.
This is so for me, man. This is just good stuff to hear, because I don't get to hear all of the background stories to a lot of stuff that was going on in that period of time. You know, there's so much going on. Like our hip hop scene was thriving, and we're inventing different types of music culturally for ourselves. You got people doing their own dancing. We had so much going on. And a lot of those stories aren't being told. Like the most people recognize from the city is Michael Jordan and gangster shit, you know?
Yes and no. I mean, that was the thing that opened me up in London. Like, they knew so much about our musical history. Ours is
Awesome.
wild.
Awesome.
Like, fair enough. I'm in the right place.
Awesome. Because like when people walk up to me, or when I'm somewhere, they go, Al Capone. I was like, yeah, Al Capone, sure.
Well,
Like, how
if you
about
got a
y'all got
limited
these Polo
frame of
albums? And
reference, it's that way. But I mean, I know way more DJs. I mean, it's kind of different.
That's yeah, you know, so it's different because when they see you, they recognize, oh no, dude, he's really with the music and everything. So as a tourist or whatever, they just look at
Yeah,
you.
no, I can definitely see that.
Yeah, some regular cat, like, oh yeah, you probably know all the gangster spots on the south side, on the west side. Do people really get shot in front of you and stuff like that? And it's crazy. It's crazy. I
Yeah,
just
so they
love it.
watch the news.
Say what?
So they watch the news, yeah.
And that really doesn't tell the story of Chicago at all, or any place, you know what I mean? Like every place has their bad areas and bad sides, but there's so much more to the city, there's so much more culture, and it's so rich anywhere, not just in Chicago, but California or anywhere else that you go. There's so much rich history when you get there. And if you actually get in tune with the vibe and the beat of the people.
No, I mean, on tour, a lot of times we would try to get a tour guide that was plugged in just so they could show us the other things in the
Yes.
city. That
Was
would
that so
always
was
work
that
out.
hard for y'all plugs when you're trying to do that, or is there someone that'll actually take you into the city to let you see what it is, or they take you to these little spots that are.
Sometimes, no, sometimes it would be tough. I mean, I remember the first time me and Taiwan Davis, because he had got signed the year before in Germany, and he was just like, "Hey, you should come with me." And we went, and we were just in the internet cafe emailing anybody that had something somewhat hip hop in London, trying to get the, "Hey, yeah, you could, you know, we could tell you some things." And we found one of the owners of BBE. And he came to pick us up that night and took us around. But I
Wow.
mean, it was, you know, it's like the roll of the dice. But let me get a plug right quick so I can plug in this
All right,
computer.
hold on. Let me pause it. Let me pause it. All right, go ahead.
Yeah, so like 2003, we're at just a standard internet cafe and just like going through websites and just emailing people like, "Hey, we're in town. Can you tell us what's going down?" You know, you just would go for it. I mean, my first major tour, we did like 48 cities, like 50 days, 60 days, something crazy like that. And I mean, we were using couch surfing to find the people that was, you know, plugged in. And it worked. Yeah.
Okay.
Amazingly, I just still can't believe they let like four people come.
It's a beautiful thing, man, 'cause often like when I a few times like when I would be out of country and you go to these places, they tell you don't leave the resort area and things like that. It's like, man, what? I'm not from a resort area. Why would I even want to stay in one? Like, I want to move around. I want to see the people. Like, I want to actually taste the food. I want to feel the pulse of the actual city. I don't want to just be here, you know? The only time I really
Definitely.
did that is when I went to Mexico. When they told us to stay there, I was like, all right, you ain't.
You didn't trust it.
Huh?
I said you didn't trust it. You're like,
Man, I was like, hey, I got it. Because what I saw when I was there, like when we got there, they say, hey, don't wear no chains, don't have none of that stuff on, because you walk amongst these people and not for what he say, not for nothing, but you know, these guys are a little bit more different than where you stay at. Like you can recognize this when it's coming. It'll be any one of these guys out here when you were down here in Mexico. So, and then you just saw it happen to somebody who was goofy enough to do it. And you're like, yo.
So you saw it go down.
Yeah, I was like, right here. Okay, cool. Fuck it. You know?
It
Yeah.
in.
No, I didn't have to tuck nothing in because I didn't have it on, my guy. I had that on. Look, I don't play that. When I'm not in familiar areas, I don't play like that, man. I'm not gonna try to be the tough guy. You know, that's silly. That's silly. But this person decided that you know that they was gonna go for what they knew. And when them guys rolled up on them, they told him everything off, take everything off. And he said it very plainly, take everything off now. And they had big burners out. I was like, oh, it's a wrap for that. So
You
Mexico
got
might have been the only place where I was like, no, we're not doing that. We're not doing that. But they was taking us around the city though. I will say that. Like we enjoyed ourselves. Yeah, and lived to tell about it. So God is good. God is good. So your community involvement, how long have you been doing that?
I mean, that's just about 14.
Since about 14.
Yeah, that's when
So
I painted my first community mural.
when did you establish your own 501(c)?
Well, no, the Inglewood Arts Collective, we hadn't come together to 2017. That's when we all ended up together. It was like 10 of us.
Okay. Do you guys do any work with Rob Smoove?
Yeah, he's in the Inglewood Arts Collective. He's one of
Okay.
the co-founders too.
Because I thought he had started something else. So is that
Oh,
part of?
no. He's got a music program that he has. That's his yeah.
Okay, so that's separate from what you did.
Yeah,
Yeah.
that's separate. Yeah. So we come together to do events together, to do
Okay.
programming together. Yeah. So for instance, at the Cultural Center, I just had him that first night of the house thing to do how to make a beat class, with the people that were there. So we're all, working together, partnering up.
Yeah, because that's what I was wondering. Is there a difference between it? And I couldn't remember like what the name of that the program, the music program that he has.
Yeah, Mic Audio Pro. Yeah.
Okay. As far as your program goes, have any of the kids does push forward with it and done anything musically or artistically going
Ah,
along?
man, all throughout my life, man. I mean, I used to teach for After School Matters. There's tons of people that have went on to do it. I mean, even when I was running a clothing store, I mean, a lot of my interns, they all got brands. They done Fashion Week. They're living it.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Awesome. That's good to hear, man. It's important to lift these kids up and get them a space, a safe space where they can go and hone their skills or work on something and be able to elevate themselves out of the muck and mire of the neighborhoods that they come from. And I salute guys like you and Rob and Greg and everybody else that are constantly involved in the community and trying to make a difference, man, because it's always needed. And I love seeing it. And I love being a part of it whenever I can be a part of it. It's a good thing to be attached to and support at the same time. Is there any other initiative that you have going on that you want to talk about or spread word about?
I mean, the Inglewood Music Fest, we usually do an artist village there. That's September 24th. We do like a full day, bunch of like free giveaways for the kiddos, a bunch of free classes that the kiddos can take. Usually we have like printmaking, mural making, we have pop-up podcasts going, we have DJs, we have full market, and then a bunch of just different organizations, giving all the info out if you need that, with the backdrop of the music fest going with their different headliners. I'm curating our art space within the Moore's Ball, the Emancipation Ball, next Tuesday. I'm at Art Beats and Lyrics this Friday. I'll have some art up at the Jack Daniels joint. Yeah, outside of that, a bunch of pop-ups, man. It's a lot, a lot, a lot, a lot, a lot. Working with Unblocked Inglewood with Tanika Johnson, where she's like fixing up people's homes as art, and then we're gonna add some physical art to that as well. So yeah, working on that too.
If there were, if you could work with three MCs or rappers, who would it be?
Let's see, who haven't I done something with? It'd be good to do something with Lupe. It'd be good to do something with Vic Spencer. Yeah, I say right now. To
Lupe, you
keep it
said Lupe?
Chicago. Lupe and Vic Spencer, yeah. Because I
Okay.
got songs with so many different people, but I don't have songs with them. Yeah.
Out of all these guys you don't work with, those are two that you haven't worked with. That's crazy. That's crazy. Well, put it out there into the universe. I'm sure it'll come back around and I'll pop up and see something on your page and something like that soon.
Yeah, that's usually how it goes. You can talk
Hey.
it up. Yeah.
Hey man, hey, there's
But
nothing
now me
wrong
and
with
Vic are long overdue. I mean, we've been circling each other and pushing each other and seeing it move. So yeah.
it. Okay. Well, sir, I appreciate your time. I don't want to hold you up any longer. I'll probably get back to you with another interview sometime in the future. And I
Word.
appreciate you jumping on here. Ladies and gentlemen, this has been Pugs Adams, one of Chicago's best ever at everything.
Wow.
Because he does everything.
PugsAdams.com. Log on. Yep. Pugs with an
Pugs
S.
Adams.
Adams with a Z.
Yeah, there it is. Ladies and gentlemen, and remember, as always, remember the mission statement when you're striving for greatness. God never puts you in the driver's seat if it's taken. God bless everybody. Pugs, I appreciate you, my man.
Peace, peace.
Yep. Yes, sir. Have a good one.